Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Morning Show with Chris and Susie on this Wednesday, November 15th, right here at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And we're live in the studio. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. It's a beautiful morning out there. I got to say, I just walked over, sun shining and some fresh snow up on the mountains. It looked great.
So when we get this very, very cold evenings, usually we'll have sun in the morning. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I wasn't telling you exactly that. I was just saying it's beautiful out there right now.
Yeah. It is gorgeous. Yeah. And we'll get to the weather in a little bit. We have a full show. We have two different sets of guests. And just to introduce our first guests, we have local medical care providers, nurse practitioners, for a very special reason, Nicole Grimm. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Susie.
And Cynthia Dalsing. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Susie. Chris.
And we have a lot to get to. It is National Nurse Practitioners Week, and we want to hear all about it because it's always been a question for me. What is that? So we'll hear about that, but first.
Hey, well, second half of our show, we should mention that. We're going to be speaking with Eric Grace with the Kiniksu Land Trust because they have a pretty interesting thing happening right now. A video by a videographer that's been working with them is up for a national award that could bring $10,000 to that group for the Pine Street Woods campaign.
And that videographer is Scott Ruhlander,
yes.
Right? And executive director of the Kiniksu Land Trust, Eric Grace, will also be joining us.
Yes.
And that's probably after 8:30, but stay with us. This is really going to be a fun show today. So what's going on, Chris? Would you like to hear about the weather?
Yeah, tell us what's in the forecast. What do you prognosticate?
Well, right now, currently 32 degrees, and today there's... The first part of the day, it looks like there's clouds and sunshine, and then it turns into 80% chance of rain. High today, 42, and low tonight, 90% chance of rain, low tonight, 34. So it looks like we're staying with rain, probably snow in the mountains, because I heard Schweitzer's opening early.
It's opening this weekend.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, it's one of the earliest openings in many years, actually.
So they must have quite a bit of snow. And I was looking up on the mountain yesterday from the school where I work, and I saw a lot of snow. And I kind of know where your house is up there. And did you have snow up there?
We have some snow.
Okay.
Not a lot, though. Only a few inches around. Yeah.
And it looks like getting towards Friday, the temperature might drop. We may have snow down here, but definitely lots of snow in the mountains. That's about it.
And other things going on outside. Sunrise this morning was at 6:52 a.m. It's going to set at 4:08 p.m. And the days are indeed still getting shorter. In the last week, they've shrunk by 20 minutes per day. We get closer to our winter solstice coming up. We're still more than a month away for that. Lake Pendere, they're still drawing the lake down. They got to be about down to low winter pool now. It's currently at 2051.3 feet down, about 0.8 of a foot in the past week. And speaking of Schweitzer, they currently have 32 inches up at the summit and 20 inches up at the village. They've had 10 inches or more of new snow in the past 24 hours. Actually, my numbers are a day old, so they've probably got a couple inches yesterday since then. So there's going to be some pretty good early season skiing happening this weekend.
Those skiers will not be complaining. I have actually know some folks coming in from outside of the area to go skiing this weekend. So.
Yeah, cool. What's that? What else is going on around town?
Well, there's always a lot going on. I do want to say that the main street between 1st and 2nd is closed for a little bit longer, just so if you're coming downtown, you just know which way to go.
Yeah, you're going to hit a detour there. I just walked by that. They're doing some street work of some sort. One of the big things happening starting this weekend is the annual K&K Fall Fishing Derby that starts on Saturday, and it runs through November 26th, although they take Thanksgiving Day off. That's a commitment from the fishermen right there to take one day off over that week.
Just one.
Okay. Other things going on around town?
Well, I do want to say that this Friday, we're going to have a special interview here at KRFY at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll be sitting down with the Citizens Climate Lobby about the evening's presentation. And the presentation is called Let's Clear the Air. And I'll be interviewing local organizers and also Washington Water, Wind, and Fire Tour presenters. So the interview at 8 o'clock here at 88.5 KRFY to get a sense of what's going on. They're here all day Friday and then the Friday night presentation. I know that Keoki is a co-sponsor.
Sandpoint Online is a sponsor as well as KRFY and the Sandpoint Reader. The event's going to be at the Sandpoint Community Hall, the public event, from 5:30 p.m. to 7 or 7:30 p.m. It's going to include a local panel that are going to be talking about not is climate change occurring, but rather what are some of the things that we should be doing as citizens and as local governments to prepare for some of the effects we're seeing. And Commissioner Glenn Bailey is going to be speaking on that panel, as well as Bob Bay with Idaho Forest Group. Representative Sage Dixon was going to be on the panel, but he has had a conflict come up, so he's not going to make it. We think there may be an additional person that joins the panel. But that's going to be the local panel. We're going to have the speakers from Washington that are going to be speaking about some ideas for dealing with some of the impacts of climate change. Of course, we're seeing those in our forests. Last summer, we saw it pretty dramatically in the air. It's impacting a lot of our industries, as well as our lives.
And so that's, again, this Friday. Interview here at KRFY at 8 in the morning on the 17th. And then this evening presentation, it's called Let's Clear the Air. And it's for anyone across the aisle. It says bring your friends, no matter what. You know, if you're conservative or a progressive, it doesn't matter. This is an issue that affects us all, and the solutions are there. Mm-hmm. So let's explore that.
And with that, we have, again, we have two guests with us today. We have Cynthia Dalsing. Cynthia, thanks for coming again. And Nicole Grimm. Nicole, thanks for coming. You are nurse practitioners, and this is Nurse Practitioner Week. Who makes a week, anyways? How where did that come from? Sorry for that aside. Can you tell us shortly what do nurse practitioners do? What are your role in medical care?
So, Chris, a nurse practitioner, also known as an NP, is an expert clinician who has advanced training who can provide primary and acute care. So we often have master's degrees or doctorate degrees and can diagnose and treat both health conditions. And we have an added emphasis on keeping people healthy and preventing disease. And we practice in a multiple variety of specialties, including women's health, acute care, family practice, pediatrics, and the like. So we treat and... we treat acute and chronic conditions. We treat diabetes, high blood pressure, infections, and injuries, and can diagnose and order tests and order labs and prescribe medications.
I wanted to back up just a little bit because before the show, we were talking about the history of nurse practitioners. When did this come about? Because in the old days, we had doctors and we had nurses, and a nurse practitioner is kind of new. So where did this come about and how is it, what happened?
So in 1965, Medicare expanded the coverage for patients, allowing our elderly and our pediatric population to have access to care. And there were plenty of nurses and not enough primary care providers. So nurse practitioners really evolved out of need, meeting the need of a gap of patients who would not have access to primary care. And those were usually patients in the rural areas or in the urban centers who lacked access to care. So the nurse practitioner role really evolved out of need. And
what they were finding out actually is that many nurses were operating and functioning at a high level, coordinating care of these populations with physicians. And so it was a physician and a nurse from Colorado who actually kind of spearheaded this this movement and this program to formalize the role of a nurse practitioner.
So a nurse practitioner, can they write prescriptions?
Yes. Idaho is a
full practice authority
state. There are 22 states in the United States who have full practice authority, which means since 2004, nurse practitioners in Idaho may practice independently, kind of to clarify, in some states, nurse practitioners have a relationship or even are an employee of a medical doctor. In Idaho, nurse practitioners do not need that formal relationship, although nurse practitioners in Idaho work with all specialties, physicians, physical therapists, nutritionists. So we have relationships with them, but we are not required by law to have a formal relationship with the physician. But we can write prescriptions, order diagnostic tests, manage, as Nicole said, manage diabetes, take care of newborns, deliver babies, give anesthesia. You know, but there's a pretty wide range of what we can do.
So both of you are nurse practitioners. When you went to college or when you decided to become involved in the healthcare industry, we'll call it, or the healthcare service group, how did you pick nurse practitioner? Were you nurses first? I'm going to be a nurse. And then you went further. You saw a path that made sense to you. What was your, how does someone get into it? And is it now a separate course trend, track?
It's a great question, Susie. For me personally, I was a nurse first. I loved being a patient advocate, sitting by their bedside, loving them in their most vulnerable health state. And really, I still am a nurse. If somebody asks me who I am, I'm always a nurse. I'm always, and I view myself as a patient advocate. I really believe truly that my role as a clinician is to help my patient do what is reasonable and for their best interest. And so, yes, we are nurses first. We will always be patient advocates. And so with that 4-year degree of a bachelor's of science in nursing, then we go on to either a master's program. And now all nurse practitioners have doctorate degrees coming out of school.
Well, does that make them a doctor?
If you have a doctorate degree. Doctorate. Correct. Yeah. Not a medical doctor, but they're a doctor of nursing.
Okay. Well, how does that? What's the next step up then to become a medical doctor? It's just more training.
It's a different track. It's a different track. So physicians are also expertly trained, have go through residency, and they focus and practice on a biomedical model, which is more illness-centered. Nurse practitioners just have a different training, and we are trained in a more holistic perspective, and we really recognize the whole patient in their entity. And so it's really more not a, you know, it's just a difference in the way we come to the same diagnosis, but our approach is perhaps a bit different.
They're just separate entry angles, you might say. A medical doctor has strongly biology background with a focus on medical and hospital care primarily. Not that they are very much trying to address the primary care shortage with medical programs now. However, many medical doctors are not going into primary care, and more than 80% of nurse practitioners are choosing primary care as their first practice. So we are kind of the answer to one of the answers to healthcare, the healthcare issue that we are dealing with right now in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And in Sandpoint, how many nurse practitioners do we have?
We have over 30 different nurse practitioners in a variety of specialties. And like Cynthia said, most of them are in family practice. We have many in women's health, pediatrics, oncology, acute
care. Cardiology, asthma and allergy, dermatology. Really, if you look at specialty practices, many of them are adding nurse practitioners. I know there are nurse practitioners in nephrology, also gastroenterology. They do additional training besides their family nurse practitioner, master's or doctorate, and become experts in a specific area. So they kind of are a team with physicians. And what they bring to the team, I heard once, I love this saying, the more diverse your team, the less likely you are to miss something. And so I feel like when you add a nurse practitioner to your team, you're going to add an entire scope of approach to a patient that a medical doctor either doesn't have the time or doesn't have the kind of, scope to say, oh, I also need to get this person in with a nutritionist, a social worker, a hospice person, I feel like we really do use resources and look at the entire needs of a patient, whether they're having a GI problem, an asthma problem, or a family practice issue.
So I'm just trying to get a sense of I go to a nurse practitioner myself, and I do have gone to doctors, and you get a different sense when you walk in. There's just, it seems like more time is available to kind of go over causes and effects maybe of what's going on. But one of the questions I have is, do you do referrals? As far, you mentioned referrals, Cynthia, but do you have, are you able to use the hospital? If your patient goes into the hospital, can you go there and see them, care for them there?
That's a great question, Susie. So I like to think of nurse practitioners as kind of the gatekeeper of the entire medical, your medical history. And we manage all sorts of referrals. There's a lot of limitations in what family practice can do. We often coordinate care with referrals to dermatology, to our general surgeons to get screening colonoscopies. And then we collect all of that data. I visit several of my patients in the hospital. We manage hospice patients who are at the end of their life. We do not in this hospital have hospital privileges, but that does not mean that we do not correlate or coordinate with our internal medicine and hospitalists and follow our patients while they're in the care at the hospital.
So in other words, you do prenatal care. We'll just use that as an example.
Yes.
I heard you say, but do you do birthing?
In this town, there are no nurse midwives doing hospital births or home births. They have a nurse practitioner at Sanford Women's Health who does help with OB care and GYN care and primary care. They used to have nurse midwives at this hospital who had hospital privileges and did perform births, attended births there.
Do you feel like that's a gap in our needs here?
Well, I'm a nurse midwife, so yes, I do feel it's a gap. And that's how I entered into the healthcare system was my master's is in parent and child nursing, and I have taken the boards for nurse midwifery. Along with nurse midwifery is a scope of primary care for women. So over the years, my life has dictated such that doing primary care and working a day job worked better for myself and my family than being on call and being in the hospital doing deliveries and attending women. So I personally think nurse midwives would be a great asset to this community, although I feel that Sanford Women's Health gives lovely, medically sound care.
So does an individual sometimes have a nurse practitioner and a doctor?
There's no need for that, Chris. Many of our patients will see either a physician for a family practice or a nurse practitioner, and that's the beauty of a nurse practitioner is we practice completely independently and give primary care. So it would be kind of a redundant. Certainly we work with a lot of my patients will have a cardiologist and have a physician as a specialist or as a specialist, but not necessarily in primary care.
So the setting that Nicole is talking about, she actually works with a variety of providers, including physicians. In my practice, we have two nurse practitioners. There's no medical physician in my practice. And Tabitha Barron, my partner, and I tell people we are your home base. So all the information kind of comes into us, and we can help coordinate your care. And I feel like that is one of the biggest gaps in healthcare today is that because healthcare is getting so specialized, people have a lot of different players, but there's not one person coordinating and organizing that care for them. And so I feel that as nurse practitioners, we have all the information and we can help them make sure that their care is appropriately organized and that people know who's doing what with who.
Another question that's a little off, but I've heard of physician's assistants and then nurse practitioners. They seem like they're kind of the same. Is that true?
That's not true. A physician assistant is also an excellent clinician, except for they are focused on the illness. So they are trained under the same biomedical model from medical schools. And although we are lumped often in the same, our approach, again, is different. And a physician assistant needs to practice under the scope and authority of a physician, whereas a nurse practitioner, I have my own prescribing license. I have a prescriptive authority and can prescribe and diagnose apart from a physician. So they are required to do this all under the umbrella of a physician. And often our approach is just a little bit different. So physician's assistants are excellent. We often see them in more acute care roles. We see them in the hospital, working in surgery, being the assistant for a lot of our orthopedic surgeons and the like. And a nurse practitioner tends to be, again, focused more on education and preventative health and working in the field of primary care independently.
I think the word you used was holistic, so you really see the whole patient. They become your patient rather than someone you might see occasionally.
A strong emphasis in my bachelor's program was holistic care for my nursing degree. I mean, we were taught to look at the entire patient, not just a particular disease diagnosis sitting in front of you, but look at the entire patient. Who are they taking care of? Who's taking care of them? Are they a grandparent taking care of their grandkids? I mean, how can they? I have many patients who it's like you really have to take in their social situation. I have a woman who's sick who's taking care of her two grandchildren because the mother isn't available. I mean, that's going to be important for her actually taking care of herself. You know, those are the types of things that I feel like as nurses we get into. And we also, when you mentioned the time factor, Susie, it is interesting. We schedule ourselves so we have time. We just flat out say we need enough time to actually have a conversation with the patient. But I think many practices are busy and they don't necessarily schedule that way. So I just think it just takes time.
And I have the privilege of caring for several families in our community of multiple generations. So not only do I know mom, but I am taking care of her children. I'm taking care of her mother. I'm taking care of their great grandmother. And to know and be, to have the privilege of just sharing in the journey of a patient's health and their family and understanding their values, their cultural, their religious background, and really then becoming their best advocate and helping them achieve their greatest potential and their greatest health. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a short musical break, and I want to come back and talk about Sandpoint really celebrating Nurse Practitioners Week nationally and Partners for Care, a little bit about that. But we want to take a break, and this was a requested song by Cynthia, and this is Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. And I also want to thank Women's Health. Is that the name of your group, Cynthia?
Women's Health Care.
Women's Health Care for being a very good underwriter for KRFY. You can see the value of many things. So this is Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. We'll be right back with Cynthia Dalsing and Nicole Grimm, nurse practitioners celebrating National Nurse Practitioner Week. Stay with us. And that was Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. This is the morning show on this Wednesday, November 15th with Chris and Susie.
And we're speaking this morning again with Cynthia Dalsing and Nicole Grimm. They're nurse practitioners. This is Nurse Practitioner Week. It's a national observance of nurse practitioners. So, Cynthia or Nicole, what's the week about? And I guess another way to phrase that question would be, what is the impact of nurse practitioners on healthcare nationally?
So this week is really, I think, just to recognize that nurse practitioners play a really vital role in healthcare nationally, and then even in our community. I don't know that I can estimate the percent of care that we give in Sandpoint, but with over 30 nurse practitioners, I would venture to say that we play a very significant role in providing healthcare for this community. And nationally, there's over 234,000 nurse practitioners, so I like to think of that as 234,000 solutions to the healthcare shortage, where we just don't have enough primary care providers meeting those needs of patients.
Patients who see nurse practitioners are more likely to stay out of the emergency rooms. That will impact our financial bottom line for healthcare.
And that's because you're trying to practice medicine not from a reactive standpoint, but from a proactive standpoint.
Absolutely. You can imagine the benefit of having somebody current on all of their preventative health care so that they don't end up down the road with colon cancer. So really addressing it proactively is the foundation of our belief of providing holistic patient-centered care.
So you mentioned we have over 30 nurse practitioners right here in Sandpoint. How well served do you think the community is in health services? Do we have enough doctors and nurse practitioners? Do we have enough medical health providers here to meet the needs of our citizens?
That's a great question, and it's often hard to... I think the answer would be no, we could always use more. I believe that the majority of our patients do have primary care providers, but there's always a shortage. And really with different health insurances, and it's the lack of health insurance that I think patients really fall through the cracks.
One thing I see, and you might ask yourself this question, or our listeners might ask themselves, when you call for an appointment, how quickly do you get into a medical office? Is it a week or is it 2 months? So I think that's where we see a shortage of providers, and particularly primary care providers in North Idaho.
Because you're seeing longer waits. Some folks are experiencing longer waits before they can get in, assuming that's not an urgent care need, right?
Yes. I mean, we do have a good urgent care safety net in Sandpoint. I mean, there are places to go when you have an urgent problem, but it's almost like you have something in between urgent and 2 months out.
And so the nurse practitioners set up their private practice, and it takes a lot to have a private practice. You have probably licenses that you have to pay in the state and all kinds of insurance. Oh, the eyes roll, right? Insurance and this and that. And your office helpers and the people that do the billing. How do nurse practitioners bill out to insurance companies? Is it the same as a medical doctor?
It is. So we accept all major insurances, Medicare, Medicaid, Blue Cross, all of the insurances that you're familiar with.
One of the disincentives to having nurse practitioners open their own practice in North Idaho is that nurse practitioners get reimbursed less for the same service that a medical doctor would provide. And that directly impacts, obviously, when you have a private practice. I have the same cost in my private practice, but I get reimbursed 15% less for what I do.
By Medicare or by the insurance company?
By Medicare.
Oh. And how?
And by insurance companies.
Some insurance companies.
Yes.
And why is that?
That is a great question, Susie. We're currently working on that, and we're trying to get pay parity. Because I see it as Oregon has pay parity. So why would a nurse practitioner come to rural North Idaho to make less money when they can go to Oregon and make more money and to run a medical practice? So the state nurse practitioner organization is actively addressing that, but that is going to be a long process.
And like you said, Susie, we spend a lot of time. We choose to know our patients. And so it's really a hit on both sides. So not only do we spend a little bit more time with our patients, we also get reimbursed less for it. But as you know, we are nurses first. We are not in this for money. We really, truly love our patients. And I think that is the beauty and difference of a nurse practitioner.
So speaking of insurance, it's a befuddling topic for a lot of people, including me, actually.
It's a moving target.
Are you seeing folks that are, you got to be seeing folks that don't have insurance figured out, they're underinsured, they don't have insurance. What's your take on the whole insurance question?
So, Chris, I believe in access, that everyone should have access to healthcare. So I serve and work at the free healthcare clinic in Sandpoint. It's called Bonner Partner in Care, and I've been a part of that for the last 7 years, and we have a great group of volunteer physicians, nurse practitioners, and nurses who on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings serve at Panhandle Health, and we see patients first come, first serve. And for those it's our service industry. It is the carpenters who can't get back to work. It's the mom who's working two jobs but just cannot make ends meet to pay for expensive health insurance premiums, yet earns enough money and does not qualify for government subsidies. So Bonner Partner in Care seeks to serve those individuals in our community who fall through the cracks.
Go on.
Well, one of the positives about the new insurance I saw in my clinic was that women came in for their annual exams because it was a covered visit. However, their care almost stops there because then they have a $5,000 or $10,000 deductible that they need to meet. So that's the negative of the high deductible. It's like they're really not insured.
Mm-hmm. So if they had a cold, they wouldn't be able to come to you because of maybe a high copay, but they could go to Bonner Partner in care.
Correct.
And that was,
and we would see them for free.
Mm-hmm. And that's Tuesday and Thursday evenings. It used to be just one night a week.
So it is one night a week. It's alternating. So okay. This week, Tuesday, next week, Thursday evening, it's at Panhandle Health across the street from Traverse Park. Doors open at 5:30 and we don't turn anyone away. We don't ask for any verification of there. If you need help, if you need medical care, we're happy to see you.
And the downside of that is that if they can't easily get into a clinic to be seen for their cold or their urinary tract infection or whatever is going on, they end up either at one of the urgent cares or the hospital emergency department. And it's a very poor use of services, and it's more expensive to take care of things that can be easily taken care of in a clinic setting in an emergency kind of oriented clinic.
And if the hospital has to pay for it, it's like the indigent care fund for the county becomes depleted. How do you feel about the fact that Idaho now has on the ballot the Medicaid gap? How does that play in? I guess that will be
strongly support mm-hmm. expanding Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So we would support that and believe that that is one piece of helping access to care for rural northern Idaho. And really, 9% of Bonner County residents fall in that Medicaid gap. In the whole state of Idaho, it's probably 5%. 78,000 Idahoans fall through that gap. And in North Idaho, it's even higher than that. So we would absolutely support expanding Medicaid.
Dr. Dunn gave an excellent summary of that situation this summer, where he spoke really from the heart about who really is impacted by the Medicare gap, the Medicaid gap in Idaho. And it was an excellent, it is really the person working 2 and 3 service jobs.
Yeah, it's not like a popular misconception, somebody that just doesn't want to work.
Somebody in the basement playing video games.
Yeah, that's not the case. It's actually working families.
They're working the ski lifts at Schweitzer during the day mm-hmm. and waiting tables at night. They have diabetes, and their insulin costs over $1,000 a month. Yeah. And
they make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, not enough to be able to afford insurance.
That's correct.
And that's the gap that mm-hmm. we're talking about.
And Dr. Dunn gave that speech at the kickoff to Reclaim Idaho, and that was an epic moment to go around Idaho with, what's his name?
Luke Mayfield and Garrett Strichich. Mm-hmm.
And they did an excellent job and really went to rural Idaho and talked about something that they didn't find a whole lot of people saying no to. It's really a common need for our own citizens to have coverage, is what I saw from that kickoff, and what Dr. Dunn did say, that was excellent.
But to address that gap, the legislators would have to approve the payments, or accepting the money, basically, is what it amounts to.
Well, it is, and they actually, the state of Idaho has a different idea for addressing that gap, and they actually are working with different numbers. Their number is lower than 78,000, it's something like 52,000, and they have two kind of alternative plans to address that. So they are looking at it, but they are not looking at it. They're kind of reinventing another idea mm-hmm. to look at it.
And they've been looking at it for years.
Mm-hmm. But without anything happening. Yeah. Having mm-hmm. this initiative or this on the ballot means the citizens can speak, just like they did in Maine.
In Maine, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity for people to basically, you know, talk with their vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're about running out of time. So you have any last words for our listeners about nurse practitioners and the week to celebrate them?
Well, I would like to thank the community here. The community of Sandpoint is very supportive of nurse practitioners. And I think the other medical providers that we work with have been wonderful to make sure people get the appropriate care. And I feel that this has been a very supportive community for my practice. When I need a medical consultation, I feel like people are very helpful. And I appreciate that, because basically it's about access and appropriate health care.
And I would just say, if you're seeing a nurse practitioner, you can thank your nurse practitioner for giving you and your family great care. And if you are not seeing one, I know of great nurse practitioners in Sandpoint who are willing and would be happy to see you.
Yes, we would.
And I just appreciate the time that you've given us to share nurse practitioners and celebrate really the care and what we've done.
So if somebody wanted to get a referral or learn more about nurse practitioners, who would they contact? Where would they go for that information?
My practice.
npfinder.com would be a national website registry for all nurse practitioners. Google will find all of us.
Google
and
it
then
for
Facebook
Sandpoint.
As well. Absolutely.
Nurse practitioners in Sandpoint. And I wanted to mention, we talked about Bonner's Partner in Care Clinic. You can get more information about that online as well at bpicc.org or bonnerpartnersincareclinic.org. Either one will get you there.
Well, Cynthia Dalsing and Nicole Grimm, thank you for your service to our community as nurse practitioners, and thank you for coming in and sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Susie,
and Chris.
Yes.
We're going to go out with a song, but we'll be right back after the song with folks from the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, Eric Grace, and local videographer Scott Rulander. But we're going to take a little music break, and this is Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We need to find out about Sasquatch in the Piney Wood Hills, right?
I think in the Pine Street Woods. Yes, yeah. Yes, indeed.
Here we go. And that was Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are. And you're listening to The Morning Show here at 88.5 KRFY with Chris and Susie. We have our second group of guests here. We have from Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, Eric Grace. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
And we have local videographer. Did I say that word right?
Yep.
Scott Rulander. Good morning, Scott.
All right. Good morning.
Well, thanks for coming in, you guys. And you're here specifically. You have a mission here today.
A very, very specific mission today.
That is, we have a video by Scott that is up on a national award. Tell us about that and how people can help land $10,000 for the Pine Street Woods Community Forest Campaign.
All right, Chris, thank you. So there is a national competition. It is put on by an organization called the Land Trust Alliance, which is a national group that assists groups like the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust do good work. They have a competition. It's entitled Land Is My Blank. And then we find a videographer, or a videographer can pick up the competition and fill in that blank with what is important to them, what resonates of the landscape. Is it land is my legacy, land is my passion, land is my food? And we have been fortunate enough to have Scott Rulander here, who's been doing some video work on behalf of the Pine Street Woods campaign, which I can talk about in a little bit, taking the notion of Sasquatch. Land is my Sasquatch. And I'm going to have Scott talk a little bit about where that came from.
There's a connection issue here. How is land your Sasquatch, Scott?
Yeah, well, you know, I was just, when Eric told me about this competition, I started thinking about what is land to me. I was supposed to create a video that was very personal to me as to like what land meant to me. And initially I thought, well, land is my teacher, land is my life, land is my playground for so many of us in Sandpoint. But then I started thinking about this, the videos we've been working on and how we'd been using Sasquatch in those videos. And I thought, well, Sasquatch is kind of elusive and mysterious and sometimes misunderstood. And I thought that actually represents a little bit of the way I think about the landscape. And so I went with that and, just told the story about how I used to play in the woods and how I became connected to nature. And that's how it all kind of got started.
But tell us, back up a little bit, tell us about the videos you did earlier for the Pine Street Woods campaign.
Yeah, so we were looking for a bit of a creative way to let people know about the Pine Street Woods property and, you know, the fundraising drive that was happening and how we could promote and get the public to become aware of that project. And so we thought, let's do something a little bit different. And actually, one of the members of the board of directors for the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust said, wouldn't it be cool if Sasquatch was in these films? And, initially I thought, well, yeah, maybe. That's a tricky one to pull off. But, we started writing out some scripts and we came up with this idea to incorporate Sasquatch into a couple of the films. And the first film, we had a couple of local folks. We had incredible actors, I have to say. I was just amazed by the performances the people pulled off for these films. given that...
Especially Sasquatch.
And the fact that people, some of these folks didn't know that they were even going to be in the film until the night before. So, the first film, we had a couple of reporters from London who were coming to interview Eric about the Pine Street Woods project. And it turns out while they're on the property, they have an encounter with Sasquatch. And so that went well, and we were excited about how it turned out. And we thought, well, but we want Sasquatch. Initially, our first film made Sasquatch out to be a little bit of a villain. I would say, you know, maybe
a scary figure that Eric has to go do battle with, or at least he thinks he does.
Yeah, exactly.
And but we thought, well, that's not what we want to portray. Like, we don't know. You know, Sasquatch could be a very nice person. And in the second film, our goal was to try to bring out those qualities of Sasquatch, where he is a little bit more engaging with the community. And so it got really fun at that point, I thought, because we talked to a lot of local community members. We ended up having Sasquatch go to the Longbridge swim. Unfortunately, the swim was canceled this year. But
not for Sasquatch.
Not for Sasquatch. He went for it. And then we had Sasquatch in the skate park, and that was really fun. The local kids down there thought it was amazing to see Sasquatch ripping some turns in the park. And Sasquatch went to the festival at Sandpoint. And so, Sasquatch has been Sasquatch in the community.
Around town. And those videos are available for people to go watch. They're only like 4 or 5 minutes each.
Yeah, exactly.
On your YouTube channel, how would they find that? If they wanted to check it out. At the Kinixu Land Trust, they could go to Kinixu Land Trust, actually kinixu.org.
That's correct. That's probably the easiest way. You could probably search YouTube, but they're all available right on the kinixu.org website.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring it back around to a comment you made, how you tie those funny films that are promoting Pine Street Woods and using Sasquatch as this figure to this personal film, Land Is My Blank, Land Is My Sasquatch, and you use a phrase, you mentioned it, but use a phrase in that video that the natural world taught you to believe in things I can't always see.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what I thought with that is, I think as a nation, as a, world community, we're still learning so much about nature. And there's things that happen out there that we still don't understand. And I think that's kind of where I was going with that. And I think I say something to the effect in there of, that I'm grateful for these complex events that seem to happen every day. And just those things like waking up and the sun rises again and the snow falls at the same time of year each year. And I think it's such a delicate balance. And so I was kind of alluding to those mysteries of nature.
I wanted to know how you managed to get videos of Sasquatch. I mean, did you call or did you? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That you were able to meet up and get those pictures, those videos.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was just a funny question. Yeah. I wanted to hear you guys laugh.
I mean, he is a very elusive creature, but he was actually very accommodating for this. I think he understands the importance of us actually protecting the Pine Street Woods property. Whether or not he lives there, he certainly does spend a lot of time there. And so when he heard that we're doing this campaign to buy this 160 acres and keep it as open space, he was very happy to work with us.
No scheduling problems with Beth?
No, he's always there.
He's always available for you.
Yeah. He's always around. You just never know.
You know, I think as time went on, one of the things that I thought Sasquatch became was a bit of a protector of the property. And one of the final scenes is one of the little girls who came out and filmed with us. She puts some cookies out to try and lure Sasquatch in. And in the end, he runs off because he doesn't want to have that contact on the property. But he's always watching, and he's always there's kind of a sweet interaction between him and the little girl at the end of the second film. And I kind of think of him as always there, always protecting the property.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more, Eric, about the property and what your goal is as the Kinixu Land Trust gaining this 160 acres?
Yeah, it's 160 acres. It's up on West Pine Street here in Sandpoint, so just a couple miles west of the city. As you said, it's 160 acres. It's just a beautiful piece of property. It's adjacent to The Sherwood Forest property, where there's already a number of miles of trails up there. So this is going to supplement that resource. The Kinnickswood Land Trust is a nonprofit here in town. Our goal is land protection, land conservation work, with a really strong focus of also connecting people back to nature, giving people the opportunity to get outside to recreate, whether it's for health reasons, happiness reasons. Whatever reasons, recreation, et cetera. And this is an opportunity for us. The property came on them, or we approached the landowner a couple of years ago to buy the land. And he finally agreed. We settled on a price. And so that we are currently in a fundraising campaign. We have to raise about $2.1 million total to make this project a reality. I'm happy to say that we are now $1.6 million there. So we only have about $500,000 left to raise, which is tremendously exciting. And we're hoping that we can get this campaign wrapped up by the summer of 2018. We have until the spring of 2019. That's how long the purchase contract is for this parcel.
Already three quarters of the way there, close to three quarters of the way there.
Exactly.
And that's pretty amazing, actually, right there. So you've secured some large grants. We have some large donations that are pledged to this, assuming we get over the goal line with it.
Right. So as with any campaign, we have a structure, a whole system of where we're going to be looking for the money. It's going to be individual donations. It's going to be foundation support. We're hoping to get the business community to step up and give us some help as well. And then, you know, every $25, every $50, every $100 adds up and it makes a difference. The Land Is My Campaign, or Land Is My Blank campaign, the video, if we win this, if we get the most votes, we will get $10,000, which Scott has offered to dedicate to the Pine Street Woods campaign. So the voting is active right now. We have until November 17th.
That's this Friday. Yeah.
And the last we heard, we were in third place. So we have to get the votes out. So the way to do it is to go to the Kinnickswood Land Trust website. Click on the link and watch the video. Enjoy it. It's a wonderful video. Don't just vote, but actually appreciate the work that Scott has done.
And this video is only 2 minutes.
This video is only 2 minutes, and it's the Land Is My Sasquatch video. So make sure you click on that link. You can vote as many times as email addresses that you have. So there's nothing wrong with two or three or four or five votes if you happen to be collecting, amassing personal email addresses or work email addresses. I know I voted three times myself, we're in a small town. Excuse me, it's a small town here, and we're up against some big land trusts. Mm-hmm. You know, the Colorado Group, it works out of Denver, so they have millions of people that they can appeal to. If Sandpoint, Bonner County, Sanders County can pull this off, it's going to be a remarkable testament to the passion and commitment that this community has.
So the word is, get out and vote, as we say often here at KRFY. And how to do that? You go to Kinnickswood Land Trust website, and that's just kinnicksulandtrust.org.
The easiest is just kinnicksu.org.
Kinnicksu.org. You can vote three times with as many times as you have emails.
Correct.
And it's not petty cash. $10,000 is not a drop in the bucket. It's a large donation.
Yeah, and for folks who don't have capacity to support this project, you know, with a cash donation, this is a great way for you to make a difference.
Yeah, just to vote, and you can vote once per email address. So if you don't have one email address, you can only vote once. It's not like those contests where you can vote every day.
Correct.
But if you do have more than one email address, as many of us do, then you can vote multiple times.
Right, and I'm going to promise everybody, I've voted three times and I have not been inundated with a bunch of spam. Yeah. I know a lot of people are concerned about giving email addresses to a party that they don't know. So far, I have not received anything that would be connecting me to the fact that I voted for this video.
And almost always, typically, if you do get on a mailing list from a reputable organization like the Land Trust Alliance, there's an unsubscribe link. You can take yourself right off the list if you start getting emails you don't want.
But yeah, by law, we have to have an unsubscribe option.
Yeah.
So the word is, again, get out and vote to kinnicksu.org.
Correct.
And this will make a big difference. Thank you, Scott, for putting it all together and for if this wins, which we hope it does, so that what's the name of the Pine Street Hill?
Pine Street Woods is the name of the property.
Pine Street Woods can be purchased soon. And thank you, Scott, for that donation. And because we're going to win this, right?
Yeah, go Sasquatch. I'm excited.
Go Sasquatch.
You know, I would like to say thanks to everybody who has voted already. And thanks for all the support we've gotten up to this point. It's every day I'm out in the community and somebody comes up to me and says, how's the video going? I voted. My kids voted. I shared it. And, you know, so thank you to all those people who have supported so far. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're hoping people will do also is not just vote, but share it with as many friends and family as you can. Because, yeah, like Eric said, we're up against some big population bases. And I think it'd be so cool mm-hmm. if Sandpoint, Idaho, with a Sasquatch film, stole the show.
Yeah. And Susie, I just want to say there's also, you can engage with this video on Facebook. So if you spend time on Facebook throughout the day, find your way over to the Kinnexu Land Trust Facebook page. And that's a great place for you to go and you can share it with your friends. You can talk it up. You can chat it up. You know, this really needs a social media component to get the word out.
So, I'm glad you mentioned Facebook because my 50 friends will all get this soon.
Oh, thank you.
And hopefully they'll all vote too. So thank you so much for coming in. You guys are doing a great job. It's a really great little video. As you said, it's worth watching, very much worth watching. And good job, everyone. Eric, Grace. You know, I think you're coming in next Tuesday on the morning show.
I'll be in next Tuesday. I think
talk more about it.
Yeah, talk more about the Pine Street Woods, but also really explore some of the educational programming that we're doing right now with our outdoor educator. Right.
Can't wait to hear about it. And thank you, Scott Ruhlander and Eric Grace.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And this is KRFY. It's the morning show. I just want to remind you that tomorrow on the morning show, Jack Peterson and Jim Healy will be here at 8 at 88.5 KRFY. And on Friday, I'll be in the studio at 8 o'clock to interview the Citizens Climate Lobby presenters of the talk, Let's Clear the Air, and also local organizers from Washington State with wind, water, wind, and fire. They're some of the tour presenters. That's also at 8 o'clock on 88.5 KRFY. We're going to go out with a song. Hey, it's the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Fever. Here's the Bee Gees, staying alive. Have a great day.
Bye now.